welcome to Mining Stock Daily. I'm your host, Kylie Williams, and today I am joined by Jason Jessop, who is the CEO of Magna Mining. Magna Mining are working on a project over in Sudbury and have some major milestone news to announce today. So what I'll do is welcome Jason onto the show and let him tell you the exciting news that just came out today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really excited to be able to announce today that we have received the approval for our permit to take water, which is one of the critical permits and the last permit we need to move forward with our advanced exploration program at the Crean Hill Mine in Sudbury. And, you know, this permit's going to allow us to dewater the mine. And we're planning on doing a ramp from surface to go underground and do some test mining as part of this advanced exploration program. And we're actually looking at mining somewhere in the range of about 400,000 tons of ore from or mineralized rock and test mining from underground. So it's pretty exciting. It's been, we acquired this project 17 months ago. And, you know, in that time, we've done about now almost 25,000 meters of drilling on the project. We came out with an initial, significant resource with 31 million tons of open pit underground indicated resources. And to move it through to have now all the permits in place to start advanced exploration, including a ore selling agreement with Vale that we announced last month, it's pretty exciting. We couldn't be more thrilled. And it really speaks to the jurisdiction and the team that we have here to be able to move so quickly. So great news. And it's just that next step in moving things forward.
Absolutely. So I'm not an engineer. So tell me about the water taking that you're going to do. So my assumption is that this is old underground working that has flooded and you need to remove the water from that. What kind of levels and volumes of water are we talking about?
Yeah, so the Crean Hill mine was an old Inco mine. Over the course of 80 years, which was a few periods of operation during that time, a total of about 20 million tons of ore was mined by Inco. The mine shut down in 2001. At that time, it closed. The head frame was removed, the shaft and raises were capped, and the mine gradually flooded. So what we'd be looking to do and what this permit allows us to do is to go down through the shaft, put a pump and piping down the shaft, and start dewatering this mine. Now, we're going to pump that water into an existing water treatment system that now Vale operates. Vale still treats all the water that runs off of this site as part of the legacy of the previous mining operations. So it's very simple for us to just add this additional water into their system and we'll pay to have them process it. So pretty simple. We think that we'll be able to get started this summer with the pumping, and that'll put us in a good position for later in 2024 to start the ramp development.
Are there any risks to dewatering in terms of, has the water been kind of holding certain parts of the mine open and then you take the water out and there's collapse? Like, how does that all work?
No, there's no worry about that. And it's quite straightforward. The water has been sitting for a long time, so it's very well settled out. We've done water testing, so it's basically very suitable water for the water treatment system that's in place. And, I guess the biggest risk and something we'll need to manage as we move forward is to ensure there is an impounded water in places that, could sort of release unexpectedly once we're in mining. So we'll be doing lots of test drilling to ensure that any openings such as old mined out stopes aren't impounding water while we're driving the ramp and working in those vicinity of those mined out areas. But yeah, it's a pretty straightforward dewatering system.
Nice. And how deep did the previous operators get down to on the mine? Like, what's the lowest level that they got to?
So the lowest level is about 4,500 feet below surface. So it was a relatively deep mine. And, the ore body extends right to that depth. we wouldn't be looking at dewatering entirely to get started. Mm. We would be dewatering below the 550-foot level, which would allow us to then do our test mining and our advanced exploration down to that level. And that would open up areas of our 109-foot wall, which runs right to surface, our 101-foot wall, which again runs very close to surface, and parts of the intermediate ore body, which are more of a traditional Sudbury nickel-copper type deposit. So all three areas be accessed above the 550 level as part of this initial advanced exploration and test mining.
Okay. And one thing I'm really interested in is the previous mining operators, so before 2001, were pretty much just looking for nickel. But now there's additional materials that you're pinpointing in your exploration as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the, you know, the platinum and palladium and the role that that plays in your exploration modeling?
Yeah, and it's a great point. Sudbury has been known as a nickel mining hub for over 125 years, and Inco and Falconbridge previously were really focused on nickel. Now there was a lot of copper with that as well. But the precious metals were a byproduct that I'd say were underappreciated and weren't a driving force in any of the decisions on where to mine. Now, in Sudbury, you have contact deposits, which are sort of right on the edge of what's called the Sudbury Igneous Contact. And that's what made up, you know, I would say over 95% of the historic mining. And then there's footwall deposits. And the footwall deposits are really what we've been drilling since we acquired this property. Footwall deposits really have been only exploited for the last 30 or 40 years in Sudbury. And Crane Hill did not have a lot of exploration while Inco was operating, looking anywhere into the footwall. And what you can find in these footwall zones are very high precious metals and also elevated copper levels. So typically, as you move away from the contact, the nickel starts settling out and copper starts picking up, and precious metals, the further out you go, typically you have higher tenors and higher amounts of precious metals. So that's what we've been looking at. Now, that being said, right now, by the far majority of our resources are contact nickel copper deposits that still have 1 gram or in some cases 2 grams of platinum, palladium, gold combined. But some of these footwall areas, like the 109 footwall, you know, we can see areas and intersections which are more than an ounce per ton of platinum, palladium, gold. So very high grades and sometimes over considerable widths. But there's also a component of nickel and copper in there as well. And again, you can see these sharp walled veins in the 109 where we've seen intersections, you know, 3% nickel and up to 8-9% copper. So it is a very interesting environment in the footwalls. And that has been our focus for exploration and continues to be our focus and looking further into the footwall, because these types of deposits aren't just near the contact. They can be hundreds of meters back into the footwall in these breccia corridors and along these structures that go back into the footwall. So we have a 25,000 meter drill program that we're well underway with this year. About 20,000 meters of that will be at Crane Hill and will be focused on footwall mineralization and exploration.
Okay. So that's a lot of drill holes. What are your geologists most excited about once the drill gets in underground and structure is a big question there of, like, you know, where do these deposits go and where are they faulted and cut off?
Yeah, and that's a big question. Our geologists are excited about so many things. I love coming into the office and chatting with them about, you know, what's going on with the drill, you know, over the weekend and what they're excited about that day. But you know, we have done a lot of modeling of the structures that are coming, you know, off of the contact into the footwall. So there's shear zones, there's faults, there's these breccia corridors, there's olivine dikes and different diabase dikes. And all these play important factors on where you can create these traps for fluids and metals to accumulate in the footwall. So, you know, from surface, we're still doing some deep drilling. Testing some of these structures using geophysics. We are encountering a number of geophysical anomalies in the footwall, and we're narrowing that down and continuing to target these anomalies. It is, you know, some of these holes are deep. They're over 1,400 meters deep. So, you know, getting right down sort of to the depth of the previously mined deposits. So it does take time, But it is, that is really what's, I think, the most exciting part of the exploration for our team. Our team is consists of some geologists such as Dave King and Munir Hawks, who were part of FNX Mining, who were very successful in Sudbury in finding a number of these high-grade footwall deposits. And one of our senior advisors to the team is Gord Morrison. And Gord's one of the most modest geologists you could ever meet. You will never find an interview with him because, you know, does not look for any kind of attention. But Gord has found more deposits in his career that have gone into production and been mined and are still being developed in Sudbury than any other geologist that I think you could name. Extremely successful, and we're very lucky to have him advising us and working very closely with our team. He was also the VP of exploration for FNX Mining for a period of time. And, you know, he really lights up and gets excited when he starts comparing the geology we have and these structures to those of Creighton Mine, which is one of the Vale's mines that Gord's very familiar with. He spent, you know, the bulk of his career working with at Inco. So he really understands Sudbury geology. But there, we see very similar styles of structures, of rock types, and those same traps that hosted a number of footwall deposits at the Creighton Mine. We see that similarities with Crane Hill. So it gives us a lot of optimism that we will find a footwall deposit there. And these footwall deposits on the south range of the Sudbury Basin can be extremely, extremely high grade. Some of the deposits at Creighton Mine, although they're not massive deposits, they're sort of 1.5 to 5 million tons. But some of them have been, you know, delineated to 4% nickel, 9% copper, and 15 grams of platinum, palladium plus gold. So, you know, extremely high grade, high value rock. So that's the prize. That's what we're looking for. And the team's really excited about it.
That's wonderful. It must be exciting to work in such a mature jurisdiction, but still be finding new things and still be excited about the next drill hole and building on that story.
Kylie, you have no idea how exciting it is. You know, our partners, our neighbors are, you know, for the most part, it's Vale, Glencore, and KGHM. Yep. So major mining companies. And I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, Sudbury probably isn't as well known to the retail investor, because these big companies, they don't talk about, you know, the drill hole intersections they get and the new deposits. They just, you know, put a mine plan around and mine them and produce cash flow. And you don't hear about it. And really, since FNX Mining was acquired by KGHM, you know, it was Quadra FNX back in 2012, there really hasn't been another junior like Magna that's been doing exploration and has this kind of excitement and can talk about it. And I would say educate the retail investor out there. So it is extremely exciting. We're very fortunate. It's been a long, you know, journey. We started Magna back in 2016 and we acquired the Shakespeare project and now Crane Hill. And we're looking at acquiring other projects in Sudbury, you know, similar to Crane Hill. So it is quite exciting to be, I would say, the only junior with, you know, advanced assets in a camp that is so mature and controlled by major mining companies.
Wonderful. So before we wrap up, I was going to ask if you had any new news to announce from the Shakespeare mine or what's happening over on that project. I mean, they're not super far apart, are they? They're pretty close to each other?
Yeah, they're relatively close to each other. They're probably at the closest property boundaries are only maybe 7 or 8 kilometers apart. But from the Shakespeare deposit itself, it's about 35 kilometers, you know, straight across country from Crane Hill. We are drilling out there and we do have a target we're excited about. It's called Stumpy Bay. It's about 600 to 800 meters south of the Shakespeare deposit, and it's in an area where there's been very little exploration done. We have a large geophysical anomaly at depth there that we're testing right now, and we're very excited about it. But right now, you know, our primary focus is at Crane Hill, but we do have an exploration program of sort of 5,000 to 6,000 meters out at Shakespeare this year, and it could be expanded if we have some success that we're looking for.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today, and congratulations again on getting that full complement of permits, allowing you to dewater and get exploring at new levels and see some new rocks and hopefully some new mineralization. Is there anything final that you'd like to add before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I think I covered most everything. We just, you know, I just want to remind people, you know, stay tuned because this is going to be an exciting year for Magna. There's lots more to come.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mining Stock Daily. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jason Jessup, CEO of Magna Mining. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.